Good morning, church. That was pathetic. Good morning, church. All right, there we go. Much better, much better. Good to have you all here today. And our visitors, we're glad that you're with us. And our members, we expected you to be here. So good deal. But we do still have many that are away from us and sick and different things. And so we're hoping that they can get back with us soon. We had the opportunity last several nights, yesterday afternoon, to be up at the Tri-State Family Revival. And last night at the end of that, Destiny Stoner, Jason and Heather's daughter, was immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of her sins, received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so that was an exciting close to that evening. And so when you get to see her again, be sure to congratulate her as well, so as she begins that walk with her Lord. But we're glad you're all here today. We're going to be in the book of Psalms this morning, Psalm chapter 40, verses 16 and 17. We'll get to there eventually. But so need to see and understand here. So Psalm chapter 40 is one of David's psalms that he wrote, and he wrote it for the choir director of Israel to lead out in some of their Sabbath services there. And this is one of those psalms, and we're going to be looking at the last two verses of it. So when we get there, so you'll see this is kind of the close of a song. Well, anyway, so you got to understand where David is, perhaps, at this point. You know, he's probably in his chambers, possibly, maybe out on the porch, maybe the roof of the castle there, and maybe drops to his knees, has pen and stylus in his hand, lifts his head towards heaven, and he's sharing with his God his thankfulness for salvation and how God should be magnified because of that, and how we should continually magnify and praise the Lord. But at the same time, he's saying, you know, that you are my everything. You are, if it wasn't for you, you know, we would all be lost. And so as he's writing that, he's sharing and pouring out his innermost thinkings and his thoughts. But there's something else going on here. As David is writing those words about his life, the Holy Spirit, in that exact same pen, is writing this psalm about our Redeemer. This is one of those psalms, and we see it many times in prophecy. We see it in psalms that we may be talking about, and it's a little bit like Dylan shared at chapel service the other day to the kids, a reminder to what a parable is. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, and we all get it, and we can all relate when it's a personal thing to us, but yet then the greater, deeper meaning is that it's something spiritual. That's what this is, that we may all have that struggle in our life. We may all be grateful for that salvation, but ultimately that salvation comes through Jesus Christ. And that's what the praise and the magnification of our Redeemer is all about. And that then leads us to what we want to look at this morning in Psalm chapter 40, verses 16 and 17. It says, "Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you." Aaron Davis last night was doing his best to get the crowd all pumped up and get everyone to, woo! Right? And he talked about a resurrection faith and getting us all excited. And this is the same thing that David is trying to let all, are those here this morning, are we seeking the Lord? Are we wanting to rejoice? Are we wanting to be glad? And we do that because of our Father which art in heaven. Woo! All right, we got one that's halfway there, right? But that's what needs to, we need to be excited about that. If you're seeking him this morning, rejoice. That means to let that joy come out, to be excited. It's okay to be excited at church. You can do that. And to be glad, to be happy. These are the things that should bring us joy. Let those who love your salvation say continually, Lord, be magnified. That means make him the biggest, the best, the supreme, the preeminence in your life. And do that continually. Our church life, our Christian life, is not just contained to 1 hour a week, one day a week, one moment. It's a 24/7 thing. Be glad about the salvation. How many here are glad and rejoice that you have salvation from Jesus? Amen? Amen. And we continually magnify that Lord in our life. Who is our Lord? It's Jesus. He's our master. He's our Savior. Verse 17, since I am afflicted and needy. This is where David kind of flips from being grateful about salvation, which we are, to letting the Lord know, as we all are, that boy, oh boy, do we need him. Yes. I am afflicted and needy. Let the Lord be mindful of me. Aren't we glad that God thinks about us? Thinks about us so much that he wants us to be with him for all time. And because of that, then he sent his son to be our Savior and our Redeemer. So let the Lord be mindful of me. You are my help and my deliverer. For again, you are who we seek. You are the only one that can help. Then he says, do not delay, oh my God. And what he's saying is, like we do, Lord, give me patience. But give it to me now, right? We're asking for the Lord to help us out, and then we're saying, can you make it sooner rather than later? I sure would appreciate that. And why is that? It's because we're afraid that the Lord doesn't hear us. We're afraid that he puts us on the back burner. Well, I'm letting you know here this morning, he doesn't put us on the back burner. He focuses on us. He wants for us to seek him, to be his desire. And actually, that's the very first thing that we talk about here in this lesson. When it says to rejoice and be glad in the Lord, that whole idea of rejoicing and being glad in the Lord goes to the very thing that we desire. The Lord. It's when we desire something or we try to secure an object that brings us excitement, is the idea here. Right? If you're a little one, maybe it's anticipating that birthday because you've asked for something special and you just can't wait to get a hold of that object. And then you enjoy that. You tear the paper off the package. You undo the wrapping paper, and you get it out and you go to play with it, and then your neighbor breaks it. That's the way it always goes, right? You try to take care of it and be nice, but you get excited. That's what this whole idea is about. It is to be excited in the Lord. We sing a song once in a while up at the men's camp. Those that remember Dan Schaefer that used to lead songs at Hillsboro years ago and go around and do revivals. But he sang about getting excited. And we need to get all excited. Right? The other song he sings was Get Excited in the Lord. Are we excited? Are we eagerly anticipating the opportunities that we have to come together here? You know, I was thinking of, I shared with you last week that Caleb Schenkel had spoke at the youth rally last Saturday, a week ago Saturday, and did a really good job. And he said something, and I've used it as well, but it was interesting to hear somebody else say it and talk about it. And used to use it before I was a preacher, because we'd get up at 5 o'clock, 5:30 in the morning to go to work. And on Sundays, you get to sleep in. And that's what he was using as with him going to college and him with a job. He says, you know, 4:30 rolls around real early in the morning. And yet, he goes, I never have any trouble at all getting out of bed when my alarm goes off for work or for school. But come Sunday morning, when I sleep in till 8 o'clock, he says, I just cannot get up. It's just so difficult. And he said that's where he's got to change his thinking. Are we that excited to go to work? Well, no, the boss will get mad at me. Maybe he will. But you're more willing to take a chance of God being upset with you? Right? I mean, that's the essence he's trying to share. Is that why aren't we as excited or as sold out on God as we are other things in our life, to rejoice and be glad in the Lord. In one of the commentaries I read for preparation is the College Press, and they always have a paraphrase of the chapter at the beginning. And a lot of times it'll read the same, but we know how paraphrases go. But I just thought it was interesting a few verses earlier in this text that this is how the paraphrase read. In Psalm 40, verse 13, remember we talked about, you know, not falling away forgetting who we are and going to, but it says, please, Lord, rescue me quick. Come and help me. And so as we look at that, it's that reminder to us that if we want to be happy, if we want to be glad, if we want to have joy in our hearts, then we need to secure the one and only one object that can give us that, and that's Jesus Christ. And it says that those that seek Him will have joy and will be glad. Why is that? Because Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, is our comforter. God the Father, the Word that we're given in Scriptures. They should be our main and our first source of comfort and joy. Matter of fact, in John chapter 15, verse 11, Jesus says, these things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you. So Jesus says, I want for you not to just be joyful. I want for the joy that I have, the joy that I have, to be in you. So are you joyful this morning? But it's got to be greater than that. It's got to be the joy that Jesus had. It's got to be in you. And he says this, and that your joy may be made full. Don Hunt, in his book, My Cup Runneth Over, which he takes from a biblical text talking of David, gives us that idea of when something is full, how much more can you get into it? Right? Fill the glass up. Whoops, it's full. Can it go beyond full? The cup's still full. It's going to be overflowing. And it says, Jesus says, so that your joy may be made full. Your joy made full by Him. And so if your joy that you have, because we can have a joy from the world, but it's going to let us down eventually. That your joy that you have from Him is the only thing in your life that can fill that God-shaped vacuum that we all have. That emptiness that can only be filled by Jesus Christ. Rejoice and be glad in the Lord. That's what David is telling us and trying to express. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And when we have that joy that Jesus gives us that fills us up, as only He can do, so that you may have my joy and that through me your joy will be made full, that He's the only one that can fill us up, overflowing, our cup runneth over, comes from Him, the joy that we find in Him, then can we magnify Him, or at least we desire to magnify Him in all that we think, say, and do. And so as we talk about that and we think about magnifying Him, to make Him great. He already is great. We're just supposed to let everybody else know about it. Magnify Him in your life. Make Him be supreme in your life. Make Him have the preeminent number one spot in your life. That's what magnifying Him is all about. In Acts chapter 19, remember the story of the seven sons of Sceva? It's a very interesting thing that takes place there. They're trying to speak in the name of God. And well, anyway, so Paul comes in there and basically he preaches. They get all beat up. Remember? They run out. And it says they run out of the house naked. I'm not sure what that all has to do with it. But they were beat up so bad, knocked the clothes right off of them. Anyway, when you get down there to verse 17, it says, and because of all these things, the preaching, the message, the response, because of all these things, the fear of the Lord were upon the people, and Jesus was magnified. I think that's a lesson to us. Sometimes you just got to beat the hell out of people. Oops, did I say that? That's what the Bible says. But how do we do that? Through Jesus. Through Jesus. He is the one that needs to be magnified. The only way, you know, you can't sit here and talk about the Detroit Tigers all the time and then hope that the Chicago Cubs win. Right? It doesn't happen. It's a conflict of interest. We can't talk about ourselves. We can't talk about our job. We can't talk about our kids. We can't talk about all these other things and then say that God is number one in our life and put everything else before Him. But are we moved with fear? Maybe that's the problem anymore. We serve a God of love. God is love. But it also says that the proper understanding of Him is fear, and fear brings us to that knowledge that we need to understand who He is. And then when we understand who He is, what He does for us, then we can magnify Him in our life the way we should. Then he goes on and talks about those that love the salvation. Amen? Do we love salvation that we have through Jesus Christ? Those that love his salvation. David's talking about those that love his salvation. That's one of the things that was last night as Jim Book was bringing his sermon to a close and he was sharing. He goes, I do not know how anyone can hear the gospel message and be willing to listen and not be able to respond for the cause of Christ. And Destiny thought the same thing. And we pray that more will happen. But it's only because Jesus is preached. His gospel is preached. His message is preached. The good news about him is preached. And we live in a world where we have to exemplify that. We have to share that in a way. He gave a statistic last night, Jim did, that even just in, and take this for what it's worth, the evangelical world, that only 30% believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that they believe that the Bible is the inerrant, infallible Word of God. Just 30% of these people that say that they believe that they need to be born again. Well, if you're born again without Jesus, you're dead all over. The only way to be born again is through Jesus, as we've looked in John chapter 3. David lets us know how much he loves salvation. Do we love salvation? Do we love when somebody else comes to the point of salvation? We pray many times, and let today be your day of salvation. Is that because it's terrible? Is that because you, from then on, you've got a list of rules you have to follow? No. We love salvation because we know it's going to take us to the throne of our Father in heaven. We love salvation, and this is one of the perks that comes with it from a spiritual standpoint, is that it releases us of our guilt and the dominion of sin over us. Amen? We may have done some terrible, dirty, rotten things, but because of the blood of Jesus Christ, our Father doesn't see those. I heard George mention that in his class here this morning. He looks down and sees Jesus and his blood. That's why we're grateful for salvation. It's having that restoring favor in the eyes of God that he takes us from what we are in our own sin and makes us really what he wants for us to be. Psalm chapter 8, verses 3 and 4 says, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Why does God even care about us? Why does he love us so? What have you done so great? What can we say, this is why he loves me? Because we're his. And he just wants his children to come back home to him. Why does he even think about us? Why does he even care? Because he wants for us to be by his side. And he's gave us his son to make that happen. That's why he loves salvation. And that's why we should love salvation. What we need to understand about salvation that comes from God is that we open up his word and we are saved His way on His terms. Did you hear that, church? His way and in His terms. In other words, simply follow the Bible. Easier said than done. We live in a world, and especially in the denominational world, that if we change one jot or tittle, according to King James, shame on us. His word is clear, it's simple, it's sufficient. It's all that we need to understand how we need to respond, how we need to obey. Aaron Davis says it like this, and he was there last night as well speaking. When we ask Bible questions, they demand Bible responses. So when someone asks you, what do I need to do to be saved? You can't say, come to the prayer altar, because it doesn't talk about that in Scripture. They can't say, pray through for salvation, because it doesn't talk about that in the Scripture. When they ask, what do I need to do to be saved? Then we have to open up the Bible and preach unto them Jesus. And when we preach unto them Jesus, they're going to say, somewhere along the line, here's water, what hinders me from being baptized? That's what happened in the Bible anyway. So are we grateful for that salvation? Do we love that salvation? We sing that song, salvation has been brought down. Hallelujah and praise the Lord. They could have left it in heaven, but they decided not to. It's been brought down to mankind. To the simple-minded, through the foolishness of preaching. Just simply follow the Bible. And then the last thing in this text that David is wanting for, David is acknowledging on his own behalf, and we need to as well. Is that we have no resource in this world that's worth anything but God. No bank account, no education, no inheritance, nothing is as great of a resource as God. What David is saying is, I have the highest confidence in Him. The highest. That means I may have confidence in you, but the highest confidence I have is in Him. Do we get that? That's not saying we don't have confidence in other things. That doesn't say we don't look at other things as important. But of the most importance, of the highest confidence, is that of our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. It is in Him and only in Him that we find everything that we need. Psalm chapter 18 and verse 2 says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. In other words, if Jesus Christ is not the Messiah, if Jesus Christ is not the Lord of Lords, if Jesus Christ is not the King of Kings, if Jesus Christ is not the Savior of the world, I'm sunk. I'm sold out on Jesus. We have no resource for salvation, for gladness, for joy for anything other than God. And he made that manifest to us through Jesus Christ. In other words, we live in a world that needs, desires, is seeking after, they long for it, hope. And we have hope in Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, all of our hope is in Jesus Christ. And if you don't have hope in him, we encourage you to seek him out. Seek out his salvation. Seek out and be glad and rejoice for the salvation of the Lord so that he may be magnified. Church, if you love Jesus, let the world know it this week. There's a plan of salvation that's given in Scripture that tells us that we need to believe that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the Son of the living God. But we need to repent of our sins, the sin that put him on the cross. We did that. It's deserving of death, but Jesus took that death for us. Confess him as Lord. Be immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sin and live faithfully for him. Do you love his salvation? Then praise Jesus. And let the world know that we serve a risen Savior. And he's here. He's in the world today, as the song says. And we need to be obedient to him before it's eternally too late. We're going to sing a song of invitation this morning. If you're here and outside of Jesus Christ, we pray for you. We pray that today would be your day of salvation. Will you stand?